Vectis Radio, FM 104.6. Our broadcasters are all ages and abilities. This is what makes us your local station. VectisRadio.com.
The Earl Mountbatten Hospice Show with James and Judith. Community radio at its best.
I can't believe it's time for another hospice show. Marion is playing truant, I understand, but in the studio we have got Fraser Simpson, who is one of our favourite guests here, because we've done quite a bit of work with Fraser in the past, but we've never got on the wrong end of his baton. Fraser, of course, is the music therapist at the Earl Mountbatten Hospice and also the director of the choir there. And Fraser, you've had a very, very busy year, haven't you?
Hello, James. Yes, it's lovely to be back with you again. Yes, it's been a really busy year. We've been running the Earl Mountbatten Community Choir now for just over a year.
Yeah.
And we've had some great times in that time.
I know. I mean, if we wind back the clock to just over a year ago, could you believe that you've done all the things that you've done? Because you've been, I mean, let's face it, you've got a wonderful choir there, and we're going to hear them in a minute. One of the highlights of our year here on Vectis Radio was having your choir singers in to FM with Flowers in the Rain. You did a brilliant job of that.
Well, the first highlight for me was when we actually, the very first rehearsal that we had back in January last year, where we had 70 people turn up.
Wow.
I know,
and
it's
that
amazing,
was just
isn't
extraordinary.
It?
And I think it was sort of really demonstrated that there was a real need out there for something of that nature.
Now,
and we aim to serve, I mean, we represent and serve the hospice community in the widest sense. So
yes,
we're made up of patients and staff and relatives and volunteers.
Yeah, because I was going to say, you know, who are the people that sing in the choir? And when we came to record Flowers in the Rain with you one sort of dark and windy evening, we found that there were some really interesting people there. It wasn't just sort of patients or people who are raising money for the hospice, but a lot of people who had actually lost loved ones and
Indeed.
Found it a way of sort of reconnecting.
Indeed. I think that we do have a lot of people in the choir who have had a relative, a partner or a parent who's been cared for at the hospice. And I think that coming together to sing is a really special thing to do.
Yes.
And it really helps to create community. And there's a lot of mutual support that goes on between choir members. And it's just a fabulous thing to be doing, actually.
Yeah. Well, what we took away from it was that there was a lot of energy, and people were really enjoying it. I even saw Judith singing at the back with your wonderful
Rosie,
yeah. Who's been into the studio.
That's right.
And there was a lovely atmosphere, wasn't
there? It was a great atmosphere, and you can see there's so much kind of moral support, and that it's a real social event for everybody as well, isn't it?
Yeah,
absolutely. And I think, I mean, the ethos of our choir is very much that we're open to all. We don't turn people away, we don't audition, we don't read music. So it is literally a choir that's open to anybody who wants to sing.
But nobody could have guessed at the beginning of the year that you would be recording an album before the end of the year. Tell us about
Absolutely.
That.
So this was. I mean, we can't. I can't sort of claim really a lot of credit for it, because it was really an initiative that we went and participated in.
Yeah.
But it was something called Choirs with Purpose that was being run by James Hawkins.
Yeah.
And it was a really ambitious initiative where he got different choirs from all around the country,
yeah,
and brought them together. At least they never all came together at once. There were different recording venues around the country.
Yeah.
So we travelled to Bristol one day,
yes,
and spent a day in Bristol recording.
Yeah.
And we recorded a couple of songs. One of them was called My Heart Will Go On, which is the theme tune from Titanic.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other one was We All Stand Together, the Paul McCartney frog song. So we recorded those two songs, and we were one of I think 12 hospice choirs, I think it was, from around the country, and we formed forming the UK Hospices Choir.
And do you keep in touch with those choirs? So if you're forming a hospice choir, what are you going to do? You're going to two or three people along to that, your sort of star pupils?
It doesn't really work like that. It's really something that was pulled together by this guy, James Hawkins, you know, who's a real go-getter. And he, in a way, the choir's performed for this project.
Yes.
So it's not, it wasn't a live choir. We never actually performed together.
Oh, I see, I see.
But it was recorded, and all the voice parts were recorded separately.
Yeah.
And then all spliced together and released as an album just before Christmas.
And how well did the album do?
Well, I think it did pretty well. I mean, I think we got to number 40 in the charts.
Well, that's very good.
That's really amazing.
It's certainly the first time I've been in the top 40.
Isn't that wonderful, though, for members of the choir to say, you know, I've got into the top 40?
It was a really thrilling experience for the people that took part.
Yeah,
it really,
that's wonderful.
Such a sense of pride.
Absolutely.
So what about this Christmas? Do you think you'll be filling the Royal Albert Hall or something like
that? Well, I'm waiting to hear, really. I know that James was really delighted with the whole initiative and how it went and the level of enthusiasm from those who took part. And I strongly suspect that he's planning something else.
Love to
go and take part in it.
Come and tell us as soon as you
certainly
know.
Certainly will do.
I think it's time to actually hear the hospice choir in action. And here they are singing Flowers in the Rain, which we recorded, I think, last October, wasn't it? And they are very, very good. So let's listen to them. And then we can talk about last weekend's concert and see how that went. Fabulous Earl Mountbatten Hospice Choir under the baton of Fraser Simpson, who is with us in the studio. And Fraser, they're very good. I think you did an amazing job. I love the pianist there, I have to say. He was pretty swell.
Yeah, pretty good.
He was pretty swell. Now, we were talking about shows that you've been doing, and you're putting on a lot of shows. You did one with a very famous harpist, I understand, last weekend.
Indeed. Yes, Anne Denham, who is the official harpist to the Prince of Wales.
Yeah.
And she was over doing a gig for Harp on White, which is a charity that's been running for 3 years, promoting harp music on the Isle of Wight. So she was over, and we did a joint concert.
Yeah, that's nice.
And it was absolutely fabulous. So she accompanied the Earl Mountbatten Community Choir.
Yeah.
And I was conducting, and we had my wife, who's a soprano.
Wow, amazing.
A professional soprano. She was singing. And it was an absolutely lovely evening of music making.
Well, I've had a look at the programme, and it's really, really interesting stuff, because there was some Bert Bacharach in there.
That's
some
right.
Bach.
Yes.
There were some other people with the words BAC in there. Judith?
I was just going to say something for everyone. That's what we like, that sort of concert where everybody feels included, everybody recognises something, and there's something for everybody to enjoy.
That's right. And we had to choose repertoire that would work. It was quite an unusual combination.
Yes,
a community choir and then a professional harpist.
Yes, how do you get the balance right? Because, a harp is sort of quite a sort of quiet instrument, isn't it? Well, did it mic it up?
I don't know. No, we didn't, actually. We didn't need it. And it just worked.
Yeah.
I mean, there was a microphone there if we needed it, but it wasn't needed in the end.
Yeah, sort of pinging through the frequencies of the choir.
Right.
That's right.
That's right.
Now, what else have you got coming up? I think there are two events that people should get in their diaries.
Yeah, so our next professional engagement, as it were, is going to be on Saturday the 16th of June.
Yeah.
And that's a concert that we're going to be doing in Ryde Methodist Church, Garfield Road. And that will be a fundraiser for the hospice and for the church.
Yeah.
And then a bit later, Sunday the 22nd of July, we've got Barton Manor Open Gardens, which is one of the hospice's annual fundraisers.
That's a really lovely event, isn't it?
So we're going to sing at that. So that's an opportunity for people to hear the hospice choir.
And then maybe if people are really lucky, something at Christmas.
Yeah.
I'm sure we'll think of something for Christmas as well.
Fantastic.
So will you be singing in the gardens at Barton?
That's right, in the open air.
Is that a challenge, singing in the open air, or are there enough of you, do you feel, to carry that?
I mean, it is obviously a very different experience singing outside, and you don't get the resonance that you get when you're inside a building. You just have to stand close together, basically, so you can hear each other. And it seemed to work all right last year.
Now, you need some more singers, particularly men, I think.
Well, we are a large choir. As I say, we've got around about 70 people come along each week.
And they're regular.
And they are.
That's good.
Absolutely. But it is, we're very much, we're there as a resource for the community. We're probably slightly different to a lot of choirs in that we don't require people to come every week. It's really as a drop-in, and people come as and when they can and want to. So we're very relaxed. The atmosphere is always very relaxed, and the ethos is relaxed. But we are there as a resource for the community, so anybody that wants to come and join us is very welcome to do so. And as you say, yes, we are short of men, as all choirs are.
Yeah, it's funny, isn't it?
I don't know why that should be.
Do you think men are shyer, or
That's probably true, James. I suspect that's true.
I think it is. I actually think it's because men are sort of more worried about making a fool of themselves in public than women.
I wonder. Yes, I wonder.
I think so. Is there wine and canopies? Can they be? Can there be a
not every week? Every week. We always have a break and have some refreshments in the middle.
And a chance for a chat.
Sorry, that's just something that I thought might appeal to men. Okay, well, all the events always go up on the hospice website, which is iwhospice.org.uk, I think, isn't it?
Just .org.
Yeah. And What should people do if they want to join? Should they go to the website?
They can get in touch with me.
Yeah.
Or they can just turn up on a Wednesday evening.
Okay. 6:30. 6:30 on a Wednesday evening. Don't be shy, because the John Chevron Centre is a lovely place. Everyone's incredibly welcoming, as Judith and I found out. And well, stick with us, please, Fraser, because what we'd like to do is ask you a little bit more about yourself.
Indeed.
And we'll be doing that after some advertisements. That's Let Loose and Crazy For You. It's the Old Mountbatten Hospice Show here on Vectis Radio 104.6 FM. Fraser Simpson is in the house, and we've just been talking about the wonderful work that's been done with the Old Mountbatten Community Choir. But Fraser, other things that you do as well, you are a music therapist. Tell me, what does that involve at the hospice?
Well, it involves lots of different things, and obviously running the community choir is one of the things that I do as a music therapist at the hospice. But really my role there is bringing music into the hospice and to the people in the hospice in whatever way feels right and is wanted.
Yeah.
So I run individual music therapy sessions with patients in the ward, as well as outpatients as well. So people come in for appointments, and I run some small groups as well.
And what would that typically involve, or is there no typical patient?
I think the focus in music therapy does tend to be on enabling people to get actively involved involved in that music making experience in some kind of way. But that's always, that's going to be hugely different for different people. So certainly for us, for some people, singing is the way that they would access music making.
Right.
But there's a range of instruments that anybody can play on. And we've got drums and xylophones and tambourines and all that, you know, which anybody can play.
And do you think music has a therapeutic effect for patients?
I think so. I think that really it's something that is, I mean, that responsiveness to music is something that is in human nature. Mm. We all have that responsiveness to music, but we all have an individual relationship with music.
Yes.
So no two sessions are ever the same.
Yeah.
And I think we use music for different things at different times.
Right.
So sometimes we use music for relaxation, and that's a really important function of music therapy in the hospice. But sometimes we use it to make us feel energized and more alive, and that again is another really useful function of music in the hospice.
And do you think for some people through music they can perhaps express emotion they couldn't verbalize?
I think that's right. I think that actually music is a way for us to really make contact with our emotions and actually perhaps bring feelings to the surface so that they can be experienced and named, and that's really quite useful. I think music is obviously great for connecting people together, and I think that music, there's something about music that really often brings consolation and hope to people.
Yeah,
and I think that's a really important
and with a lot of the sort of famous composers, a lot of their music has been sort of, I don't know, written out of heartache and out of loss, hasn't it?
Well, I think that's true. I think that's right. Music represents our emotional life in the deepest sense, doesn't it?
Yes, yeah. And I think also maybe a means for a lot of people of bringing back memories as well.
That's right. So reconnecting people with the past and obviously with their younger selves, really important.
Mm. Now, you're part of this organisation called Nordhoff Robbins. Is that all about music therapy?
That's right. So Nordhoff Robbins was founded in 1976.
Yeah.
And it was based on the work of our two founders, Paul Nordhoff and Clive Robbins.
Right.
And it's a music therapy charity.
Right.
And we run services all around the country.
Yeah.
So obviously I'm working here on the Isle of Wight, but we do have services going on in schools and hospitals and hospices and care homes and day centres, lots of different kinds of organisations bringing music therapy to people of all ages.
Right, okay. And if people want to get in touch with Nordhoff Robbins, how do they do that?
There's a website, which is www.nordhoff, which is N-O-R-D-O-F-F,
right,
hyphen Robbins with a double B,
right,
.org.uk. It's a bit of a mouthful.
Well, I hope everyone's remembering that at home.
or just Google Nordhoff Robbins.
And do they need volunteers as well?
We certainly do use volunteers, absolutely. Yeah. If people are interested, we do have roles where people can come and volunteer and perhaps help out with the running of sessions.
But
and
typically people have got a sort of very musical background, maybe they've got a music degree or something like that.
To become a music therapist.
Yes.
Absolutely. So Nordhoff Robbins runs music therapy services. It also trains musicians to work as music therapists.
Right.
And it also does research in music therapy.
Yeah.
So those are the three activities of the charity.
Can you, without naming names, sort of give me an example of some of your sort of best patients? I mean, have you actually seen people completely flourish through music therapy?
Absolutely. I mean, I think a really good example is a group that I'm running at the moment for people with dementia.
Yeah.
And of course, music is an absolutely marvellous way to engage with people with dementia. And it's something which can really help to calm anxiety. It can help people feel energised. And it can help people to connect with other people. Mm. It's really got music is such a social activity.
Yeah.
And, you know, you just see people come to life. In a different kind of way than they do in any other context.
Yeah, and of course it sort of creates a lot of memories too, doesn't it?
I think it touches on memories, absolutely. So obviously if people hear a specific song that they might remember from the days of their youth.
Yes.
That can obviously take them back. And quite often, obviously, one of the problems with dementia is that people lose the ability to speak in some cases.
Yeah.
And quite often what I will notice is that when you play a familiar tune, suddenly the words of that song all come out.
Gosh.
and they're back into that state of being comprehensible. And you can understand.
Yeah, fantastic. Well, look, Fraser, you've been a wonderful guest. Thank you for coming in again.
It's always nice to come.
Come and speak to us later in the year, please, because
you've got
so many exciting things going on. Here's something that'll take you back. It's Telstar. More wonderful island music there from Luke. And that was Come Alive. Always lovely having Fraser in here, isn't it, Judith?
Oh, such, what a star.
He is.
First time for Tom, meeting Fraser.
Yeah, exactly.
We'll have to get up there and
Tom,
the choir
have to
again.
Yeah, Tom will have to get his drums up there.
Yeah.
So,
somehow.
Yeah.
I'll need a big...
Do you need a van?
Yeah.
Oh, you poor thing.
Like a medium, a big car or a small van.
Do you when you're doing drumming, do you do jazz drumming at all, or is it pop, or what?
Well... I tend to do whatever kind of takes my fancy, but I'm working towards my grade 7 drum.
Oh, that's good.
Wow.
That's very good.
Fingers crossed, taking the exam at the end of the month.
Okay,
at the end of this month.
Yeah,
wow.
At the end of the month.
Because there's going to be some jazz up at the hospice. I was just thinking... Yeah.
Jazz is very complicated to do. So
it does require
a lot of skill.
The rhythm's different.
Yeah, the rhythm is very, very confugling.
You talk about hiding your light under a bushel.
I know.
Wow, you're doing grade 7. That's amazing.
Yeah. Well, if syncopation is your thing, that jazz is going to be at the hospice. It's going to be on the 5th of April. If you remember, the first Thursday of every month, there is this wonderful concert that's going to be at the hospice. It's in the John Cheverton Centre, which is a day patient unit. It's a lovely, lovely area. A lot of people don't fancy just wandering into the hospice, but it's a community space as well as a space of treatment. There's a brilliant cafe there, as we've been saying, and live music. You can get canapés. You can get.
You can get
wine and canapés. It's a recurring theme. Yeah. Admission's only £10, and it includes wine and canapés.
And they're fabby canapés.
They are fabby canapés. if you'd like to go, just call Tina Groves on 217-311 or email tina.groves@iwhospice.org. And you'll be listening to Ellington and Basie and some more contemporary composers as well. It sounds like a really, really lovely evening. First Thursday, what am I talking about, of the month, 7:30, admission £10. And next month, of course, that is the 5th. If ploughing is your thing, now I have to say I've never seen a ploughing match, but there is a memorial ploughing match of heavy horses. That is just going to be a few days later. That's going to be on the 8th. And entry's free. And I don't actually quite know where it is. Oh, yes, I do. It's in Shorrell. Have I said that correctly?
I mean,
Shorrell or Shorwell, Overners say.
It's
at the new Wilburton Farm.
I expect that Tom is actually a master plower because he has so many other talents and skills. I suspect he's been keeping this under his bushel as well.
Yeah, got a degree in ploughing.
Degree in ploughing skills.
Well, it's something I haven't done before, so I think I'm tempted to have a look. If you want to go along, refreshments are available, and a lot of the proceeds go. Yeah, I hope so. I can't think that canopies and ploughing go particularly well together. Maybe I don't know.
Ploughman's.
Yes, of course. So go to www.memorialploughingmatch.co.uk to find out some more details, and you can raise a whole lot more money for the Old Man Batten Hospital. We're going to be back in just a few moments after some lovely advertisements. Martin Garrix there with BB Rexha in the Name of Love. Now, we've just got a few short moments to tell you a little bit more about some other events coming up at the hospice. If you know Joan Ellis, and I'm sure you do, she has a Friday show here. She is going to be doing a very special event together with Donna Jones MBE. It's on Thursday the 19th. Of April. It's going to be in the John Cheverton Centre, which we love so much, at 7 o'clock. Admission is £10. Guess what? It involves wine and canapés. Yes. And they're going to be doing a quirky mix of poetry, prose and anecdotes for the Earl Mountbatten Hospice. They do some absolutely wonderful evenings, and they're an incredible couple together. Funny and poignant, a night to remember, says Sue Ablett, the festival director of the Evesham Festival of Words. And heartfelt anecdotes, they said, at the Ventnor Fringe last year. They're just a few of the reviews that Joan and Donna have got. And Joan was recently very much affected by her mother's death, and our thoughts and prayers go out to Joan. And she did want to do this because the one blessing was that her mother spent her final days at the Earl Mountbatten Hospice. So please do try to go along if you can. 7 o'clock, Thursday, the 19th of April. As I said, it's one evening only. They are very, very funny ladies, and it's wonderful they're doing this for their hospice. It's called Them Two, Love, Life and Laughter. So you can find out more about that on the hospice website, which is iwhospice.org. We'll be back in a fortnight. In the meantime, there's going to be a little bit of Shalimar coming up.
The Earl Mountbatten Hospice Show with James and Judith. Community radio at its best. I'll make my-